Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Revi'i Wednesday, but you wouldn't know it because of the Gra's minhag of only Barchi Nafshi on Rosh Chodesh, but it's Yom Revi'i, and you're supposed to say Hayom Yom Revi'i B'Shabbat because of the Shita, that's a kiyum of the mitzvah of Zachor at Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, which goes for the whole week, or as Mark would prefer, L'Kadisho. And the date is the 30th of Tishrei, 5786, also known as the first day of Rosh Chodesh of Mar Cheshvan, which is 2 days. And let's do Tehillim, and then we will talk. Tehillim Kuf, Kuf Nun, last one of Tehillim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, El Bekodsho, hallelujah, Berakia Uzo, hallelujah, Begvurotav, hallelujah, Karov Gudlo, hallelujah, Beteka Shofar, hallelujah, Benevel Vechinor, Benevel Vechinor, hallelujah, Betof Umachol, hallelujah, Beminim Veugav, hallelujah, Betziltzalei Shama, hallelujah, Betziltzalei Srua, Trua, Kol Hanashama Tahalel Yah, hallelujah. Kuf Kaf Aleph, Shir Lama Alot Esoinai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'oretz Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha Al Yonum Shomerecha Hine Lo Yonum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael Adonai Shomerecha Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yeminecha Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakeka V'yoreach Balayla Adonai Yishmor Chami Kol Ra Yishmor Nafshecha Adonai Yishmor Tzeitacha Uvoecha Olam Kuf Lamed Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Krati'cha Adonai Adonai Shima V'koli Tehiena Aznecha Kashuvot L'kol Tachanunai Im Avonot Tishmor Yah Adonai Mi'ya'amod Ki imecha haslicha l'ma'an tivare, ki viti Adonai kibeta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbeimo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Mark.
Yitlach baracha ba'atzacha b'chamas yedehem, yadber asoneinu tachtehem, yi'atarem b'cheser yishua u'bateres yitzachon, yikuyam b'hem hakasuv, ki Adonai Eloheichem, ha'olech imachem lehilachem lachem im oyevechem lahoshia eschem, v'nomar, amen.
Amen. David.
Av harachman shelchein v'romim, hu yivkod barachim ezachenu, shenergu akidish Hashem ha'am va'aretz. Yiskerem Elohim Latova Msharat Sadike Olam Vivie Mehera Lakeva Yisrael Kamosha Nemar Vel Amo Tivienu Yanuchu Vishalom Al Mishkavosam Minomar Amen.
Amen. Together, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batzara Vashivya Haomedim Bein Bayam Bein Bayabasha Uvein Baavir Hamakom Yirachem Alehem Vyotziem Mitzara Lirvacha Umeafela Laora ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. Okay, I think I mentioned on Monday that Mar Cheshvan is sort of like the real first month of this year because Tishrei was so busy with other things, and the Rosh Chodesh aspect of Tishrei is very much eclipsed. We don't bench Rosh Chodesh Tishrei for certain reasons. We mention it in the Musaf because there were two Musafim of Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah one and the Rosh Chodesh one. And that's pretty much the only time we refer to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei rather than letting it be eclipsed totally by Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Mar Cheshvan, it's like a collective sigh of, that was a great month, but sort of I'm glad that it's over, or not so much, depending on how you spent the month. It was a month that did emotions through the spectrum. And on that note, I heard something I knew before, but I most recently was reminded of it by Rabbi Breidowitz from last night's shiur, where he quoted someone, to show you how I don't remember it, I don't remember who he quoted, who said that if you can't be happy, then being sad doesn't mean as much. And if you can't be sad, then being happy doesn't mean as much. Because Jewish life is a mixture of joy and sadness. And a person who can only gravitate to one side or the other is missing something in his expression, his religious expression. There are people who comes Purim, they're into it. They eat and they drink and they do Mishloach Manot and they're happy and they get a little silly and they get overboard sometimes. When it comes to the seriousness of Tisha B'Av or the 9 days, 3 weeks, they can't get into it. There are other people who are so into Tisha B'Av that they can't smile even at Shabbat Nachamu. It always reminds me of the discussion in the Gemara about not eating meat during the 9 days. And the Gemara mentions that there are some people who took a neder not to eat meat the whole year. And they were asked why, and they said because without a Beit HaMikdash and without Korbanot, which was the prime use of meat, how could we eat meat without a Beit HaMikdash? And the reply was, so maybe you should also not eat fruit because Bikurim is an expression of gift to God and the Kohen of first fruits. And without a Beit HaMikdash, how could you eat fruit? So they said, okay, we won't eat fruit. And then bread, because Lechem HaPanim and Lechem Mishnah. Okay, we won't eat bread either. And how about water? Because of Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot. And I think they finally got the message and realized how silly it was. So to the point where if you ask a halachic shaila, I have not been eating meat throughout the year because of Churban Beit HaMikdash, and I realize that I shouldn't have accepted that neder upon myself. You will be told probably you don't even need Hatarat Nedarim. The neder just doesn't exist. There is, by the way, some people who won't eat meat after Tisha B'Av until Shabbat Nachamu. And the Sfarim that I've seen say that's okay, but not after that, because we need to keep things in perspective. If we didn't have a 3 week period, 9 days, and Tisha B'Av, we would be mourning all the time. And a wedding would not be happy. It would be sad because of Zecher L'Churban. I was at a wedding the other last week, I think it was. And typically, right after the chasan breaks the glass, everybody started shouting Mazel Tov and started singing. And it reminded me of Rabbi Reuven Abramson, Zichrono Livracha, who, when I was at a wedding where he was Mesader Kedushin, he announced before they started singing Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, and before the chasan broke the glass, he said, I do not want to hear one Mazel Tov after the chasan breaks the glass. It is a reminder of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and that should be the mood for a short period of time. And sure enough, everybody listened. Chatzin broke the glass. Everybody sang Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, and then The wedding continued. That was a healthy kind of balance. I went over to a guy in the community. He's a Baal Tshuva. I don't know of how many years, but he just lost his mother and is saying Kaddish. And when he, on first day Chol HaMoed, no, on Yom Tov, first day of Sukkot, he had his lulav and esrog and he was going to join the circle to go around for Hoshanah. No, we don't do that. Yeah, we do on Yom Tov. I had to tell him that an avel during the whole year does not go around with Hoshanot, with the hakafot, and that included Simchas Torah, which to me was very, very strange, because Simchas Torah is totally joyous, Zman Simchatenu, and Yom Tov terminates Shiva, doesn't just interrupt it, it terminates Shiva, it'll terminate Shloshim if that's the situation. And no avelut on Yom Tov, just like no on Shabbat. But this is like a token thing. It could be Sameach, everything else, no hakafot. You could actually hold the Torah on the bima and have people go around, but you can't dance around. And that's predicated on the concept that people are supposed to dance around, not just shuffle around as guys usually do in Hakafot. So I don't know if that's so joyous, but it's supposed to be dancing. Anyway, that's an idea to keep in mind. Now, another idea that, I listen to Rabbi Breidowitz. I try to listen to him every week, especially his Tuesday night shiur, because it charges me up for this Wednesday shiur sometimes to add a couple of pieces. And a lot of the stuff he says, I already knew, but it's good to hear the confirmation. Like, yeah, Phil, not that he says that, but yeah, Phil, you were correct in thinking that, because I agree with you. Although he does say that to me on our Zoom, on our WhatsApp, no, emails, because I ask him a lot of stuff sometimes. Okay, I found the right person to mute there, which is not something you could do without a computer, if and you know what I mean. Anyway, the other idea that he said was there's a sort of a misconception that Mar Cheshvan, the word Mar or the syllable Mar at the beginning of Mar Cheshvan, people sometimes say that that means bitter, because after a month like Tishrei, with all of its chagim, there are no chagim in the month of Mar Cheshvan. So first of all, that's nothing, because the name is not Mar Cheshvan, it's Mar Cheshvan, which is old acacia or something like that for the eighth month of the year. It was a name that came from Bavel with the other names of the months, and it was never meant to be broken up as Mar and Cheshvan. I've told you before, I checked in Mishnah, in Gemara, in all of Rambam, in Shulchan Aruch, Rashi, all of Rashi and Gemara and Chumash and Tanakh, they never refer to the month as anything other than Mar Cheshvan. Only much later, hundreds of years later, do you start to see the name Cheshvan, and it's just like calling January Janu. It's a slang term. It's not a real name for the month. The name is Mar Cheshvan. I found some old Torah tidbits where I actually called it Cheshvan, and so I must have gotten the details on the way, not from way, way back. And that's okay. You learn as you go along, even when you teach. And the name of the month is Mar Cheshvan. But his point, my point, is that Tishrei can be seen as a preparation for the month of Mar Cheshvan and all the months that follow it, meaning tshuva. You do tshuva, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, you get forgiven, you get right into Sukkot, Zman Simchatenu, and the aspect of tshuva me'ahava, and now we finally can put it into action. He quoted somebody else, and again, I don't remember who, but very nice mashal. Says if you boil a pot of water and it splashes over, you can't really tell how much water is in there. Is it filled or is it only half because the bubbling and the steam can cause it to boil over even if it's not full? You can only find out how much water is in the pot when you shut off the flame and let all of the bubbles settle. And then you see exactly where you are. And he says, during Tishrei, of course we're going to be excited about doing tshuva and be sincere and everything and get right into Yom Tov and do everything. That's the bubbles. Do they last? The test of whether they last is when the fire of Tishrei is turned down or off, and you have a regular month. And then you will see if you applied the tshuva that you spoke big about in your New Year's resolutions, lahavdil, whether it carries through to regular mundane life. I like that very much, and I wanted to share it with you. On the technical side, just want to review why there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh sometimes, and that's once upon a time, a long time ago, any month of the year could have either 29 days or 30. Months were not allowed to have only 28, and were not allowed to have 31. A month always had 29 or 30, based on the fact that the time it takes the moon to go through its phases is somewhere in between 29 and 30. Roughly 29 and a half, a little bit more than that. And therefore, the months which depend upon the cycle of the moon's phases from new moon to new moon could only be 29 days or 30 days. A 29-day month in the olden times was called chaser, was missing that 30th day. And a month with 30 days was called shalem, was full, meaning the fullest it could be. And when the fixed calendar came into use, when the Sanhedrin ended until the next time we'll have a Sanhedrin, the formula for setting up the calendar assigned days of the month, like Lahavdil, when we say 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. So we have in the Jewish calendar an alternating number of days. Tishrei always has 30, not in the time of Sanhedrin, but always in the fixed calendar, 30 days. And Mar Cheshvan is the variable one. It could have sometimes, it usually has 29, sometimes it has 30. Kislev is another variable. It usually has 30, sometimes it has 29. And then everything else stays fixed. So Tevet always has 29, and Shvat always 30, and Adar always 29. The extra Adar, which is the first one really, has 30 days. Nisan has 30, Iyar has 29, Sivan 30, Tammuz 29, Av 30, Elul always 29. That's, yeah, Roseanne. I guess you're not talking to us. And that's the way it goes. Now, not to lose the old system a little bit, the decision was made by the ones, the Sanhedrin, that made the fixed calendar to recognize that a 30th of a month could have been Rosh Chodesh because the previous month could have ended at 29. So it's a little awkward, but we say that the 30th of Tishrei in the time of Sanhedrin could be Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. And therefore, but it's not in the fixed calendar. But we don't want to take away the Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh from it. So we declared, they declared, that the 30th of Tishrei should be Rosh Chodesh, as well as the first day of Mar Cheshvan, because those 2 days would have been the same day. There wouldn't have been a 30th day. They would have merged, so to speak, into the first of Mar Cheshvan, but we give both of them status of Rosh Chodesh. So that's why you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, and this year they will alternate very neatly. Mar Cheshvan has 2 days Rosh Chodesh, Kislev only has one, Tevet has two during Chanukah, and Shvat has only one, and Adar has two, and Nisan has one, and Iyar has two, and Sivan has 1 day, and Tammuz has two, Av has one, and Elul has 2 days Rosh Chodesh. It's neat that way because this year began on a Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah, and the year is identified as Kiseder or Kisidran. The months are in order without the variables of Mar Cheshvan or Kislev changing it. Comments or questions? Tirza.
Okay. This morning, Shacharis, I said Hallel, but in Shmona Esrei, I forgot to say Alaviyavo, and then did not repeat it. I don't know if I was wrong or right. And then I ate lunch, like say I didn't. Whatever I said Alaviyavo at lunch.
Okay, so
I, you
first
know,
of
I
all,
washed and I washed and benched.
do you have a gun to shoot yourself or not?
I
Okay,
wouldn't do it even if I had one.
we'll tell you the halacha. In davening,
Yeah.
shacharit, on Rosh Chodesh without Yalav Yavo, invalidates the Amidah and you have to say it again. Now at three, almost 3:30 in the
It's too late
afternoon,
now, isn't it?
you.
I just have a mincha before your thing, and I said, Yalla biyavo.
Yeah, but you also needed a makeup for shachar. Do you daven twice a day?
Yeah.
So if you daven
Yes,
shachar
I
one
do. Of
time and you
Shacharis and
didn't
Mincha,
say
and I
Alav
just haven't.
Yavo, you have to make it up. But I would say like this: after Musaf, did you daven Musaf?
No.
Okay.
I did
So
not daven Musaf
my
this morning.
suggestion is daven Musaf when you're finished with this year, and
Even though I've already davened Mincha.
correct, because even if you
Okay.
had them both in mind and it wasn't till afternoon, an individual has to do mincha before Musaf, unlike shul. Why? Tadir v'she'eino tadir, tadir kodem. Mincha is tadir.
Okay.
When you daven Musaf after shacharit, there is no mincha question. So that's where it belongs, because that's where the
No,
korbanot
I
is.
should go and daven Musaf. You're telling me to daven Musaf
I'm telling
with
you to
Yalla
daven
Biyavo.
Musaf.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't,
Yeah.
now in
Thank
Birkat
you.
Hamazon on Rosh Chodesh,
I
it
said.
never invalidates the benching because you're not obligated
I
to
said
make
it. I
hamotzi
said it.
today. You're just not allowed to fast. Any questions?
Okay.
Before we get to Noach again. Okay, that's the story. So, to sum it up,
Thank
Mar
you.
Cheshvan doesn't mean bitter Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan is the name of the month. I leave it to you to either correct or ignore it when other people refer to it as Cheshvan, but I am counting on you being meticulous and calling the month Mar Cheshvan like it should be. And I actually corrected
Rochelle.
Chazen at Rosh Chodesh benching. Rochelle.
Hi, Phil, it's Rochelle. If I could bring you back to this of davening Musaf after you daven Mincha, I'd like to hear, you didn't finish your thought, if I could understand what that was about. I've not ever heard that before.
Okay. In the Mishnah, when it discusses the times for davening, it says, Vishel Musafim Kol Hayom, that Musaf you can say till sunset. Rabbi Yehuda says only till the end of the seventh hour. And the Gemara says, even though the halacha is like the Tana Kama that says all day long is valid for Musaf, a person who delays Musaf after too late in the afternoon is called a poshea. He shouldn't have waited that long. But now tachlis. Once you get into the middle of the afternoon and you have not davened musaf and you have not davened mincha, then the rule of frequent and non-frequent, frequent goes first, tadir, the she'eino tadir, tadir kodem, kicks in, and you have to daven mincha before you daven musaf. If you're only going to daven one of them, then it should, well, it depends. It should be musaf. But if you're going to daven both, mincha goes first. Tadir v'sheino tadir tadir kodem. Furthermore, you can't do this in shul because it'll confuse too many people. We had a situation in my minyan back in the States where Simchas Torah Hafkofot went very late. And as many, many places do, if it's already mincha time, right after Musaf of Simchas Torah, they'll daven mincha. Our Rav didn't allow that because he said it's now 2 o'clock. And if we're going to daven mincha, it has to go before Musaf. But you can't do that in a shul because people will remember the wrong thing and make a mistake. Therefore, we're not davening mincha now. We'll only daven it this afternoon at 5:30, 6 o'clock, whatever it was. I don't know if you followed that, but that's a strict kind of thing. Bottom line, if you're on your own and you're at home and it's afternoon, well into the afternoon, and you haven't davened musaf and you haven't davened mincha, mincha goes first, even though the order of the korbanot were shachrit early morning, musaf sometime in the day, and the korban of the afternoon, which corresponds, which our mincha corresponds to, was late in the afternoon. So it breaks the protocol, but it applies Susan's favorite rule of tadir v'sheino tadir tadir kodem. And you got to be careful not to apply it where it doesn't apply, but it's interesting. Did that clear it for you, Rashid?
Okay, but you said that it, yes, but you said something interesting. You said, okay, here we're talking about a woman who is davened twice, right? Not three times.
Yeah.
So if she davened shacharis and mincha and doesn't, so she doesn't have to daven musaf. You're telling her to daven musaf as the mashlim.
No.
No, what am I doing wrong?
Musaf is a totally different story. When I talked of davening once a day, twice a day, three times a day, that was only Maariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. Musaf is a thing by itself. And I don't know if women are chayavot on Musaf in the first place. But let's say a woman, because it's Rosh Chodesh, wants to daven Musaf. And Hallel, by the way, could be said any time during the day also. And I don't know if it interferes with Tadir. Tadir messes up only the order, it doesn't mess it up. It fixes the order of the Shmona Esrei. Although I could already say an exception to that, but forget that for now. So ask your question, Rochelle.
What again? Okay, you were telling Tirza, right, that she should daven her mincha first and then use her musaf as the mashlim for shacharis. Is that what you were telling her?
Well, yeah, because there is a shita that says anybody, a man who forgets Yalav Yavo at Shacharit, if you remember right away, you have to repeat the Amidah. But if you've already davened Musaf and then you remember that you forgot it at Shacharit, then maybe Musaf is enough of a recognition of the day being Rosh Chodesh that does not invalidate your shacharit or doesn't make it a fatal flaw, and you don't need to repeat. So in the case of a woman where it's questioned one day, once a day, twice a day, whatever, I thought that the best answer would be daven mincha first because of tadir, and then daven musaf, and musaf is musaf, but musaf is also recognition of the day being Rosh Chodesh, and that will remove the sting of not having referred to it this morning in Shacharit. And I hope that I got that right.
Thank you,
Thank
Rochelle, for
you.
expanding on my question. And Phil, that was an excellent answer. The only thing I want to say,
Only if it's
I have
correct.
already davened Mincha already. I have davened Mincha. It
Yeah, by
wasn't.
the way, had you not davened Mincha already, I would have said do a second Amidah at Mincha to make up for the Shacharit that you missed because you hadn't davened Musaf yet. But since you already davened Mincha and a Tashlumin is supposed to go one after the other, I figured the best idea would be to let Musaf
Thank
double. Rochelle, Musaf has double duty. It's Musaf, but it's also a makeup or an acknowledgement
Right.
out of the and by the way, when, let's say, you don't remember till right before Shkia, and you say, I only have time for either Mincha or Musaf Amidah, then Musaf goes, even though Tadir is Mincha, but that's only when you have time for both. The rule of Tadir, the She'eino Tadir, is when you have two mitzvot to perform. Then the more common one goes first. But if it's a choice of which one, then Musaf, because once it's sunset, you can't daven Musaf anymore. But Mincha, if you miss, you can make it up as a Tashlumin in Ma'ariv. The favor is to do Musaf. And I don't know if it would be the same for a woman. Possibly not. So you caught me on something that I'm not 100% sure about. But in your case, since you already davened Mincha and you said Yalav Yavo, and you're going to daven Musaf, leave it. What about Hallel? Did you say Hallel?
Yes, I did say Hallel.
And did you skip
Skip what?
the two things you're supposed to skip when you say Hallel
Oh,
on
and
Musaf?
Hallel. Yeah, I did. I said Hallel properly.
Okay.
Now I'm going
Did
to
you make
go
a
and say
bracha?
Musaf after.
Did you make a bracha on Hallel?
Yes, of course.
Oh, not if
I mean, I have
you're
whatever it says in the Siddur.
Sephardi.
I'm not Sephardi.
I know.
I didn't know Sfardim don't say a bracha and hallel.
Not on Rosh Chodesh because it's not originally a requirement. It
Oh,
developed
I'm
from a
always
mitzvah.
learning from you. Always learn. I didn't know that.
It gets worse. Bostoner Hasidim also don't say a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And the reason Sfardim don't, besides that it's only came from a minhag, is they can't say it because their bracha is not like we say, likro et ha-halel. Theirs is ligmor et ha-halel. And by
Wow.
skipping two parts, they're not finishing Hallel. I'll give you another little detail when you hear someone, oh, here.
The
Correct. And neither the Boston or Hasidim, and I don't know
don't
which other Hasidim. And I'll go you one step further. There are some who paskin that you could do it with a minyan, but not on your own. In other words, if a minyan, the Shliach Tzibur says the bracha, you don't say it with him, but you answer amen, and that counts. So let me fine-tune something here. On the required Hallels, what are they? First day Pesach, Shavuot, first day Sukkot, all of Sukkot, and all of Chanukah. Again, 8 days of Sukkot, talking about Israel, you have to add another day for the others. 8 days of Sukkot, meaning Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, full Hallel. Chanukah, 8 days, full Hallel. Shavuot, here, 1 day, full Hallel. Pesach, even though it's 7 days, only full Hallel on the first day. So that would be seven, eight, and eight is 16. It would be 18 days of Hallel required by the original mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, there's an 8th day of Pesach. Nope, doesn't count because it's not full Hallel. There's a 2nd day of Shavuot, and there's Shmini Atzeret. And when? There's.
There's a second day of Pesach.
Correct, thank you. Second day
First day.
Pesach. That adds 3 more days, and that gives 21 days of full Hallel in Chutz Laretz. In addition to that, the remainder of Pesach, for us, the 6 days after the first in Chutz Laaretz, also 6 days after the first two. No. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. 6 days, yeah, after the first two. There's Hallel with skipping. And here's a technical difference, little technical difference. When you say full Hallel, you listen to the Chazan. He says, Yomar no Yisrael ki li'olam chasdo. And we answer quietly, Yomer na Yisrael ki li'olam chasdo. And then out loud, we say, Hodu Lashem ki tov ki li'olam chasdo. Hodu is the answer that we give to the Chazan's Hodus. The four, I'm sorry, I'm sounding a little vague here. There are four things there. Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Yomar Na Yisrael, Yomar Na Beit Aharon, and Yomar Na Yirei Hashem. Those four in a shul situation are answered by the kohol by Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li'olam Chasdo. On Rosh Chodesh, you do me a favor, forget what I just said because it'll just confuse you more because I have to add the Vilna Gaon in here and he tends to confuse some people. So let's leave it at that. All right, so the one thing we'll keep. When you hear a bracha on the required days of Hallel, like Hanukkah, you listen to the bracha, you answer Amen to the Chazan, and then you say the bracha out loud. On Rosh Chodesh, you either say it along with the Chazan, or you only answer Amen to his bracha and continue. But you don't need it twice. You don't need an Amen to his bracha and your own bracha for Hallel. It's tricky, and Sfardim and Ashkenazim have a slightly different definition of what requires a bracha. It's not that they're more frum, we're more frum, and it's not that they're machmir and we're machmir. We're machmir in a different way, they're machmir in a different way. But they consider a bracha that says, Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, not to apply to the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh because it's not a tzivui. It developed from a minhag. We say, not only did the Hallel with skipping develop from a minhag, but the bracha for it also developed from the minhag, and we say it. But they're a little bit more fussy than that. Sfardim are a little touchier when it comes to brachot. That's why at the Seder, I've told you this before, they only have two brachot on wine, and we have four, because they don't can't justify the second or the fourth cup because you're sitting at the table, you filled the cup after you made the previous bracha, and it's still there, and it's on your mind, and they don't see a justification to say the bracha again. And we have different reason for saying the bracha. Not so much a requirement for the wine, but a requirement for the status of that portion of the Haggadah. But I feel like I'm confusing more than I'm helping. And if you were to ask me for clarification, that would be helpful, probably. So you can do that too by unmuting yourself and saying something, and not just you know who. We know who. Hi, Tirza. You should know, Tirza, how much I appreciate you and Judy, who is not on, as the two people
Thank you.
who always have something to ask, and I love it
Thank you.
because
Thank you.
that's what
I
it's
just want to
been.
tell you, we daven by Lubavitch, the Simchas Torah. It was very close to our house, and we liked the rabbi and Rebbetzin very much. We're not Lubavitch, but we daven there. They said Mincha at 5 p.m. and then did Hakafis. I mean, it was like we were shocked.
Minhag.
Okay.
Sfardim have hakafot at night, in the morning, and after Mincha. Chabad, in Hasidus in general, took a lot of things from Eidot Mizrach, from Sfardim.
Yeah, but we davened at a Hasidus Shtibel in Muncie, above of Hasidus Shtibel,
did I not
and they
say
did.
some Hasidim?
Oh,
Not all.
some, yeah.
Not all. And
Okay, thank
there's
you.
an influence. Look, Kaddish. V'yatzmach b'kornei b'korev m'shichei. Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say it. Eidot Mizrach does. Nusach Sfar does. Where'd they get that from? They got it from Eidot Mizrach. Now, I have no objection to saying let the Mashiach come, but it wasn't part of the original Kaddish from our perspective. It got added. And some say, okay, so it got added, you know, and that's the same thing I told you about Morit HaTal. Morit HaTal was a later addition. New Reith.
Yeah, well, I was confused about this Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, and now you've left us in limbo.
About what?
Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, and Yomar Na Yisrael,
okay.
And replying.
Okay. The standard practice for those who know it is to listen to the chazan, by the way, not sing with him, although many shuls they do, because Hodu is going to be to a nigun, and people join him. But the real way to do it for that portion is the chazan says it or sings it, and we always answer the four times with Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto. But to be able to also say the other three, Hodu Lashem, we're going to say. But Yomar Na Yisrael is not just the chazan. That's his part to say it out loud, to which we respond, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto. But quietly, we should, before we answer his, no, right after we answer his, we should say, Yomar Na Yisrael Ki Li Olam Chasto. Before he gets to the next one. Again, Nurit, you gotta have to show me your face again so I could look at your facial expression and read your body language there, or your face.
Sorry,
no,
no, so what you actually said, what you actually said.
Chazan says, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto. The Kohol responds, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto, and then each person quietly says, quickly, Yomar Na Yisrael Ki Li Olam Chasto. Then the Chazan says that, and we answer, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto, and quietly say, Yomar Na Beit Aharon Ki Li Olam Chasto, and we do it again. With on Sukkot, when you have Lulav and Esrog and you're doing Na'anuim, then same thing. The Chazan says, Hodu. We respond with Hodu with all the waving, and quietly say Yomar Na Yisrael without waving, Ki Li Olam Chasto. Then he says Yomar Na Yisrael Ki Li Olam Chasto with waving, and we answer Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto with waving, not anuim, but say quietly Yomar Na Beit Aharon. Now he's going to say without waving, Yomar Na Beit Aharon Ki Li Olam Chasto. Our answer should be Hodu Lashem ki tov ki liolam chasto. Not everybody does that. Some people will do only two sets of waving because that's what the chazan does. And some shuls will do all four, even though the chazan does only two. And then when you get to Ona Hashem Oshiana, there's waving for the twice Ona Hashem Oshiana, but not for Ona Hashem Hatzlichana. Now, you might ask why, and my answer is kacha. That's how it is. And if you say, no, but I was at a different shul and they did that, then I will say, okay, that's a minhag also. Or I will say, oh, that's weird. I never heard of that. Or, you know, whatever. And then
okay,
the twice hodu Hashem ki tov et liyom chasto towards the end also gets na'anuim, or singing, and that you could sing together. That's the custom. Ke liata v'yodeka, elai aroemeka, Hodu Hashem ki tov. That everybody sings together, except you have to do Nanuim when it's Sukkot and not other times, obviously.
All right, can I, there's two things I was confused about. One, you said, which I think was just a slip, that we answer the Yomar Na Yisraelim quietly and then say Hodu as a
No, I
response.
corrected that to Hodu goes first.
So that's right. I agree that you picked it up, but it still wasn't very clear.
Okay.
Secondly, I understood from you that you were going to say there's something different when it's not complete Hallel. Hallel.
When it's not complete Hallel, you don't really have to say each line. Your response of Hodu Lashem Ki Tov is sufficient, because we're not saying whole Hallel. In order to say whole Hallel, you have to say every single word. But when it's already with skipping, and the system is Chazan says Yomruna, and we answer Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, that's enough. Now, not everybody knows this, and maybe that's only the Groz thing of Minhag Yerushalayim, and you have to check, Lamasa with your husband and with your Rav or whatever. One more thing. If, let's say, you're home alone, not alone, you're home with somebody else, or let's say you have a Seder, not with a minion, with people around the table, when you say Hodu Lashem Ki Tov there, it should also be one person saying it out loud and the other people answering Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. Even if there are only two people in the room, one person says Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Kilu Olam Chasdo, and the other one responds Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Kilu Olam Chasdo. Now let me make something else clear, which will make it confusing more. If you look at the six chapters of Tehillim, which make up Hallel, you will notice that the psukim, which we say double, are only written once. Evan Masu Habonim Hayatala Rosh Pina only occurs once. Ana Hashem Oshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, only once. And if you look at those psukim in the Tehillim book, you scratch your head and say, well, what? That's not what we do. So if you look in Halacha, it will say, Bimakom Shekoflin, Koflin, in a place that developed the practice to say something twice, you say it twice. And if a place doesn't say it twice, you don't say it twice. I got stuck for a period of time. Should be the worst thing, davening in a Eidot Mizrach minyan for a piece of time. And there I learned a lot of new things. Like we say, Ana Hashem Oshiana, Ana Hashem Oshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. They don't do that. They say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, and then they repeat it, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. So that's fine, because the Pasuk is only Ana Hashem Hoshiyana on Hashem Hatzlichana. So different
Right.
places will have different minhagim. Gets very annoying when you're waiting to do four na'anuim set, but the chazan is rushing, and not rushing, but he's going without giving you time to do it. Then, you have to handle that, whatever.
Okay, I have another question about Ona Hashem Hashiana. Two things. One is in the Siddur, which you mentioned. I have noticed in some of the Siddurim, the other psukim that are doubled will have the second line, the repeat in very small letters or smaller letters. And Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana is printed as if it were twice in the actual Tehillim.
It's not. Look, there are some that don't even bother repeating the psukim in small letters. They'll have the word ona. They'll have the word how does it start? Odecha, odecha, and that means repeat the sentence. And others
Yeah.
decided to print the whole thing out.
Right. I just wondered why it was different for Ana Hashem Hoshiana, where
I
they
think it's
seem to
more
be.
universally accepted to double that than it is to double those other psukim.
Okay, and I have another little point of order, which is that it's not Hatzlichana, it's Hatzlichana.
Correct.
Okay.
And there are some who say Ana Hashem Hoshi'ana and others who say Hoshi'ana. because some have a metek there and some don't. But you're correct.
Yeah, but if you look at there's a dagesh in the nun after the Hoshiana, and there isn't in the Hatzlichana, and that's because of the stresses.
Okay, glad you're paying attention to that.
Okay.
Mark will be happy also.
Oh,
Now, by the way, when we were saying the Tehillim, I corrected myself, which I shouldn't have, because there are some words that if it doesn't change the meaning and you miss accent it, or you say a shvonah like a shvonach or whatever, and it doesn't change anything, just keep going. One of my brothers went through a phase of being obsessional about each word in Shema being exactly the way it should be. And if he wasn't satisfied, he would repeat it. And not necessary. He grew out of that. That was a period in his high school where he must have had a Rebbe who insisted on that. Look, there are a lot of things that are halacha, a lot of things that are minhag, a lot of things that are chumrah versus kula, and a lot of things which I don't know, sometimes are universal and sometimes adot, and sometimes could be, people where they came from. Hungarian Jews did this all the time, and Polish Jews never did that, and they did this. And then it breaks down even to further into families. And, my brothers and I are always taunting each other with good nature about, did Daddy do that? So how come you do it different like that? But there were a number of things when I came in Aliyah that I asked my father's permission to change in the way that I learned growing up. Because Minhag HaMakom takes priority over Minhag family. But if the person who you got it from is still around, then you ask his permission. And it could be carried to an extreme. I was at somebody's house for a meal, I think it was whatever. And he says, Brachot, Baruch Atu, Hashem, Elokaini, not because he talks like that, not because he davens like that. That's how his father said it. And it drives me up a wall. I don't even know to answer amen, if I should answer amen to it. And this is why someone who grew up davening in Havaras Sfardit is more entitled to daven that way than a person who grew up with Ashkenazis and changed because of influence of Bnei Akiva or Shul in Israel or whatever, because it's not natural. And especially if you tough your suffs, but you don't patach your kamatzes, and you don't leave the kamatz katan the way it's supposed to be, then it's better if you do it the way you grew up. I think I told you once, I asked a shaila if I could say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which is the original way to say it, which you could now understand why the Shulchan Aruch says to say it long, because Echad, you can't say long, otherwise it becomes a syllable. Echad. It's not. It's Echad. And I was told, no, you can't say that because that's not how we talk. That's not how we daven. Teimanim could say it. We can't. They could eat grasshoppers, and maybe we can't, So that's the rule of thumb. If you could eat a grasshopper, then you could say certain things.
Thank you very much.
And that's it, folks.